And in that box, there was a box of tapes. I used to, believe it or not, I used to be in a rock and roll band. And I found all these old tapes of all these shows that we did. And, hey, man, let me play that. Oh, wow, I remember that, man. I was just a kid. And what that has seemed to do, because the brain is such an amazing, amazing creation, it's triggered these memories of my youth and childhood. And life has a way of only helping you remember the good things. It's kind of a funny thing. If you ever gotten back with an ex, and like after a month, you're like, holy crap, I remember why we broke up. Some of you guys are with a current, and you're remembering, never mind. So it's, I guess, triggered some of these crazy dreams of late. And here's what these dreams, they're like of my old neighborhood. You know how dreams are so weird? It's like I'm in my original, the house that I grew up in. I grew up in the same house for like 20 years. I was born in Brooklyn. My parents moved to Queens, and I grew up in that same house. But like the things that don't mix, like I'm older in the dream than I was when I lived in that house, but I'm still in that house. But here's what I remember. I wake up and I realize, wow, I was a selfish, horrible human being. I treated people so badly. Like as a young man in my teens, like I was so about me. If it was good for me, I would do it. If it wasn't good for me, yeah. It was like, if you've ever seen that movie, Big Daddy, with Adam Sandler, and in the court scene, when the father's questioning him, and he's like, and your aunt came to visit us, and it was her last birthday, and what did you do? I went to see Styx in concert. And what happened? She died. She died. And you didn't get to say goodbye, did you? No, I didn't. And tell us why. Because I drank too much beer and I was drunk on the beach. And that's like, watching that is like, that's me. Like, hey, we're going to see grandma. You know, grandma's not feeling good. Yeah, but one of my friends called and said that we're having a party. Well, there'll be another party next week and you only get one grandma. Yeah, but in case something good happens, I don't want to miss it. And that's like my whole existence, guys. Abusive, like, I think about, and I shouldn't say this in front of my wife, this is kind of a rule, I'm breaking a rule. Me and my wife have like an agreement about not bringing up exes because even though we've been together 30 years, but I think about my ex-girlfriends, I was so abusive to them, so selfish, so obnoxious, so take what I can and not give back. It was so, I think about it, it's like just so, it was so bad. I look back at my life now in Christ for the last 25 years, and it's kind of a weird thing. I think God's using it to remind me of things that I did when I was a kid that are like sins that left unforgiven, unconfessed, unacknowledged. Yeah, remember what you did to that person? Yeah. God, I am so sorry. I was such a horrible human being as a kid. And I pray, God, that you'll bless that girl, that dude, that whatever. You guys understand what I'm saying at all? I don't know if you could, anybody can relate to it. Maybe you guys grew up and you were great people. I don't know. I wasn't. Now, what does this have to do with today's Bible study? Listen. I'm going to explain to you all why and how this happens. You ready? I'm giving you today the secret, which most people don't know. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, the triune God. We studied the Trinity a couple of months ago. Fascinating, interesting, how to figure out how it can be yet one God, but three different persons. It's just the strangest thing in the world. Your mind cannot conceive this. You weren't made to understand this. But the explanation in Scripture is all through it. You too are made in the image of God, a triune being. You are a body, you are a soul, and you are a spirit. You are most definitely three in one, just like the Father. Now, some of you guys are like, whoa, what are you talking about? Listen, I will describe it because there's no way for me to explain it. And once I describe it, you'll be like, yeah, that's true. When you are here, you have allowed your spirit to be at the forefront of your being, let's call it. And you hear that music, and it's not kind of music you might not listen to outside of here. Yeah. But there's something about it that is building. It's nourishing. It's peace-giving. When I first started going to church, I was like, it's gay. That's what it is. It's just cornball gayness. I don't like the music at that place. But for some reason, I kept coming back. And every time I'd hear it, I'd need more of it. Craziest thing. It was nourishing my spirit. When you're here, I'm reading the Bible. Outside of this place, most of you guys ain't never going to touch that book. That's just a big book that was on your grandma's table. You didn't touch it, and if it got dirty, you got smacked. Don't touch that! It's the Bible! You don't touch the Bible! If you come from a Catholic upbringing like me, you understand what I'm saying. I had an uncle. Uncle Manny was first one to do this and then do this. Did you put holy water on yourself? What's the matter with you, you moron? You're in church, shut up! Italian Americans. Something about reading the Bible, though, it goes through you, man. You're here, and here's what I get all the time. Oh, bro, the way you preach, man, it's great, man. I love your messages. No, you don't. It's the Word of God. Here is the knowledge that as a pastor I have. Not last week, but the 2 weeks prior, we studied the rapture and the second coming. And the commonality between those two teachings were I referred in Scripture so much, I literally spent the whole services just reading verses off of it. And I got more compliments, you all, emails and bro, those are the greatest services. Well, of course they were the greatest services. I said very little and read a lot of the Bible. I have like the greatest material you can imagine. It's not me. So I'm nourishing your spirit when you're here. Something that never gets nourished out there. Every once in a while, you'll watch a movie touches your spirit, and you're like, wow. Now that's your spirit. It's empty. It connects with God when you accept Christ as your Savior and yearns for God until you do. But here's the downside to the spirit. It's easily buried. Easily buried. You also happen to be a soul. A soul. What's the difference between a soul and a spirit? Well, if you're a music fan, like me, if you are a blues fan, like me, some guys have such soul. Oh, man. If you ever listen to Muddy Waters, if you ever listen to Johnny Lee Hooker, they ain't good musicians, but man, did they got soul. Ha, 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 ha. You listen to some music, and it's like, yeah, that's just a bunch of white kids from the suburbs. They might be able to play, but they got no soul. You guys know what I'm saying? Like, anything with eyebrows, basically, can have soul. If you have a dog and it has eyebrows, if you ever been out in sticks, out in farmland, and you've seen a cow has soul. My wife loves fuzzy cows. Whenever we go up to Georgia, it's the winter, she'll, oh, honey, stop, I want to look at the fuzzy cows. They get the winter coat. It looks like there are curly cues. And they walk up to you and they have soul. You have a soul. You know what soul is? Your emotions. I will minister to your soul. A word spoken in due season is a ministry to your soul. Hey, bro, I just want to let you know, I really care about you. You really mean a lot to me. That ministers to your soul. Now, some of you guys, as soon as somebody touches your soul, you're like immediately, thanks a lot, gotta go. What's the matter? Nothing. Your soul. If you listen to a song like the old days, from my old days, you ever seen the movie Tommy Boy? When they're driving in the car and they're going through the radio stations and they come across like an Air Supply song. Well, I don't want to hear that. Neither do I. Turn it off. Well, you can turn it off yourself. Well, I don't care. I'll listen if you'll. Okay. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. It's touching your soul, man. It's touching your soul. Animals might not have spirits, but they got soul, man. I love my puppies. My puppies look up at me. I got those little King Charles. Johnny just got a King Charles. Where's he at? He walked out. Johnny got a beautiful little king. He's got these little golden eyebrows. Looks at the camera. You're like, oh my goodness. That's so cute. It has soul. Spirit. You have soul. Downside to a soul. Some people have no soul. They have no compassion. They have no kindness. It's kind of a funny thing. When you're younger, my father, let me tell you my father. My father was a boxing coach in the Army. He taught me and my brother how to box, how to fight. We fought in the Golden Gloves. We fought in the Silver Gloves. We boxed. My father was the ultimate workhorse. He believed in order to spar, Johnny, we were talking about you, you missed it. Just sit down, be quiet now. Talk about your dog. Your dog, he's got soul. She's got soul. So my father was the guy that would, if you were fighting a 3-round fight, you'd have to spar 30 rounds. That's, you take as many rounds as you're fighting, and you'd have to spar it times 10. And my father's the type of guy, and he would say, I'll never forget, I was about 16 or 17. I was going to bed one night, and I walked into his room, and I said, Dad, I know the Golden Gloves are next month, but man, I'm starting to get headaches at night from all this sparring, I think. And his retort to me, I'll never forget, was, you'll get used to it. Thanks, Dad. Compassion. But you know what happened when my father got old? When my father got into his late 50s and 60s, he couldn't watch boxing anymore. He couldn't watch people hurt themselves. His soul got tender. When you're young, you fight your soul. Like, I was one of those kids. Me and my son were very much the same way. When anybody touched our soul, it immediately broke. We'd start to cry if something bothered us. But it's okay, because you know what happened after we turned 15, 16? We turned off our soul. Don't cry no more. I used to cry a lot when I was a kid. As soon as I got to be in mid-teens, late teens, sorry, nothing left. Turned off my soul. Say again? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Instead of allowing hurt to bother me, I just make it anger. And anger turned to rage. Then I wouldn't have to cry anymore. I'd just get angry. Spirit. Soul. But then there's the flesh, the body. You're a body, you're a soul, you're a spirit. Remember, I'm describing you. Let me set you up here. I'm trying to get everybody into this study. Because by the time we get into what the Word says about these things, I want you to think to yourselves, well, maybe if I apply that, it'll make me a better human being. So right now I'm kind of throwing this bait out there, hoping everybody bites. Oh, that's just like me. Oh, that's what you're talking. So I'm setting you up here. I don't want to act like I'm doing it deceitfully. I'm not. I'm doing it intentionally, trying to get you in with me here. You follow me? So your body. Your body has an appetite, your flesh, as they call it in Christian circles. You say, oh, that guy's really carnal. That guy's fleshly. Hey, don't flesh out on me. These are all Christianese, Christian sayings. Don't flesh out on me. My wife always says this to me, don't flesh out on me. My wife said something to me last year that was the greatest thing in the world. I come from an Italian-American family, so we talk really loud, and we yell a lot when we get mad, and when we're not mad. So for 30 years, my wife is telling me, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you'd stop screaming at me. I'm not screaming! Well, about a year and a half ago, I decided, you know what? I got what she said. So every time we fight, I started whispering. Really? Well, here's the thing with that, honey. I don't hear you. You are really setting me off. And I'm going to put my head through the wall and then put your head through the open hole. And she looked at me now and she'll say to me, just because you're not raising your voice doesn't mean you're not yelling at me. No, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it means, honey. I'm like almost positive that's exactly what it means. And my daughters all agree with her. Her mother agrees with her. Just because I'm not yelling at her, I'm sorry, just because I'm not raising my voice doesn't mean I'm not yelling at her. Took me 30 years to stop yelling at her. And guess what? It ain't good enough. Now, you guys that are on this side of the room, if you turn around and look at my wife, she's not impressed with any of this. Huh? Am I in trouble? You have a flesh. Your flesh, it wants food. It wants passion. It has a sexual appetite. It has a physical appetite. And it usually doesn't consult with your soul or your spirit. Because at the fall, when the enemy of our soul won the title deed to earth, we were inverted. We used to be a spirit, a soul, and a body. And at the loss of our, well, in the temptation of Adam, and he didn't hold up, unlike Christ, who did hold up, everything was inverted. Boom. Now you're a flesh, a soul, and a spirit. Your spirit is now last on that list of things that are out front. If you go into a bar and you want to meet somebody, and you see somebody sitting there, and you try to baffle them with your, you know what? Hey, how's it going? And then she looks at you and she's like, yeah, not interested. Well, you know, I read this amazing book the other day. Yeah, still not interested. You know, a church pastor spoke about this. You go to church? You understand? I want you to relate that these are the three separations of your life. And everything you do will either be of the flesh, of the soul, or of the spirit. And everything that you do of the flesh is selfish. It's for you. It's desirous. It's mostly pointless. No value in tomorrow. Because you wanted it. You had to have it. Most men walk around like dogs. Think about how your dog is. They smell something. If they like the smell of it, they lick it and eat it. They meet somebody else they don't like. They want to fight it. That's how most men walk around. I'm 55 years old. 55 years old. I was in the bank the other day, and some dude walked in, like stepped in front of me in line. I was like, excuse me, buddy, there's a line here. And he's like, what's your problem? I was like, I'll tell you what my problem is. Pastor, that's my problem. I'm a pastor. That's my problem. My problem, see, is I'm a pastor. That's my biggest problem right now. Who knows? You never know if I looks anymore. It's with those enlightenments in your head, of your body, your soul, and your spirit, that we take aim at ourselves now to improve ourselves. As so familiar, the Apostle Paul, in writing his letters, the letters that we've been studying for the last couple of years that the Apostle Paul wrote, at the end of all his letters, it seems he waits for the last chapter to do this shotgun-style staccato, almost machine gun, boom, 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 boom. If you guys know, he takes these long sentences, these run-on sentences, or everything's a comma, never periods with him. But yet the last thing, you go, oh yeah, and I want to tell you this, do 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 this. Where he goes from explaining things so incredibly, he kind of loses his ability to explain things at the last. And he does the same thing in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Please stay with me. I want to break them down a little bit by little bit. These things are not easy, especially if you are a carnal individual. If when I'm describing what the flesh is and what it is to be not in the spirit, what it is to be not in your soul, what it is to be completely fleshly, like it, want it. These things will help you if you try. I've sat in many office rooms, spoken with many people in their houses, asking them why they did it. Why did you do that? And they say, I don't know. I can't stop myself. You know how many times I hear that? I can't stop myself. I don't know what comes over me. I don't know. I've got everything I need at home. Everything. And yet. And it's the saddest thing in the world. And they always ask me the same thing. Well, how do you do it? Ryan, 30 years you've been with the same woman, and only her, 30 years. No kissing, no touching, nothing. Just her. How? Why do some people seem to have strength and other people don't? Why is it such a talent or a gift? Or, well, you don't understand, I'm Latino, you know what I mean? Or, really? I want to stop drinking, but you got to understand, my family's Irish. It's a black thing. Oh, shut up. Your excuses for all of your sin are just weaknesses. You know, John Corson one time said that an excuse is a lie is an excuse. Anybody remember what he said? A lie is an excuse stuffed in the skin of a reason. A reason is an excuse stuffed in the skin of a lie. Look it up. It's really funny. And I tell them the same thing when they say that to me. I say, well, listen, if you don't feed your spirit will never get stronger. Feeding your flesh is easy. All you have to do is walk outside your house. People don't wear very much clothes, and every billboard is a tantalizing taste bud. Music, feed your spirit? No, especially the music most of us are listening to. Feed your flesh. Whatever you're watching on TV, is it feeding your spirit? No. Well, how do you get your spirit fed? Spirit's bed? Is that what you're laughing at? Come on. I'm so much funnier than that. You get your spirit fed by reading the Word of God, by spending time, quality time alone, just you and God praying. Putting on serious worship, not some stupid channel that says it's Christian music, but true worship music. Giving God 10% of your time every day. The Bible talks about giving God 10% of your salary in the Old Testament, the tithing principle. Well, I say in the New Testament, make it 10% of your time. There's 24 hours in a day. Let's say you're up 12 of them. Hopefully you're up more than that. But however, 1.2 hours. Spend that in reading, in prayer, a little worship, and maybe some fellowship. And have that balance. You will then feed your spirit, so when the tempter comes to you and says, hey, don't you want this? Yeah, but that's illegal. I shouldn't do that because I'm working right now, and if I steal that person's tips, or if I do that, if I fudge that on my taxes, but more money. More money, you know what, is not worth disappointing God and that feeling that I get when I screw up. I've had a few situations. One time, it was about 10, 11 years ago. I think it was Cammy. Cammy was just a baby, and she was crying in the back seat of my car, and we were at 441 in Hillsboro, and she was just screaming and freaking out. Some guy was in back beeping, and I look in my rearview mirror, and it's just the type of person that shouldn't be beeping at me. So I get out of my car, and I open the door, and I'm trying to calm the baby down, and he's just beep, beep, beep. I walk over to his car, and I'm like, I'm trying to settle my kid down. F you and your kid. And I grabbed his arm, and I put it across his body, and I put my finger in his head. I said, don't ever, ever put your hand. And I walk back to my car. My wife just looked at me like this. And immediately, the Spirit just overwhelmed me with remorse. Now, did this guy deserve it? No, he deserved a crack in his mouth and an elbow across his forehead. But that ain't my job to do. I don't do that. That's not who I am. Well, you say you just did it. But I'm not supposed to. I let my flesh get away with me. You guys understand what I'm saying? If you've not had that feeling before, it's horrible. When you do something as a Christian and you walk away, and even though it was deserved, even though there was... Oh, my Lord Jesus. Take your medication every day. What did he say? You got to finish now. What does it have to do with what I'm talking about? I should have hit him with a stick instead of my hand? What? All right, rejoice. What happened? What did I miss? Yes, there you go. Rejoice always. That word for rejoice literally means to find things to be filled with joy about. You wake up in the morning and don't start thinking about your work, the fight you had with your husband, wife, mother, father, whatever. Rejoice. First thing, before you check your emails, your Facebook status, or any of that stuff, just get up and go, you know what, God? It's going to be a good day. Listen, it's probably not a truer statement ever said. But did you guys ever see the movie Scarface? When that cop said to Tony one day, what did he say? Anybody? Every day above ground is a good day. Every day above ground is a good day. It is, man. Pray without ceasing. The ability to pray, let me explain to you how I heard Billy Graham explain this verse. He was on Larry King one time, And Larry King was interviewing him. And he says, now, the Bible says that you should pray without ceasing, right, Mr. Graham? He says, yes, it does. He said, how is it that you can be an effective human being in life and pray without ceasing? And he looked at Larry King and he said, Larry, as I'm speaking to you right now, there is a voice in my head that is praying. I'm praying for your salvation. And as I'm speaking, I'm praying for the people that are watching. There's another voice inside of me that will constantly be in prayer, that the things that I do would glorify God and not myself. And I thought about that when I saw it. I was like, you ever read a book and you read a whole page and you have no idea what you just read at all because your brain was like thinking of something else completely? Yet you're thinking about something else. You have no idea what you read, but you remember what you were thinking. That's how you can pray without ceasing. And what a great way to nourish your spirit and to be prepared for all things that the enemy might throw at you, that God might for a second just take his little hand of protection off of you and let something get through to you just to test you, to try you, to maybe even chasten you. Does God do that? You bet. How else would you get strong? How else? Nobody goes into the gym and slaps 250 on the bars. You got to start with just the bar. And you put a 25 or something. You know what I'm talking about. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you know the Bible in the book of Psalms says, offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Because God knows this that you all might not know. That whatever's happening in your life now, eventually you're going to say it was the best thing that ever happened to me. In 1997, I went to prison. I had a wife and I had three children. There's no way that that was going to be good. I was a young Christian at the time, just got saved. That's how I got saved. God broke my soul with that situation. And then he filled my spirit with himself, but there's no way, God, if you really love me, get me out of this. I finally fell in love with my wife, the woman I just had 3 years. Finally, all I want to do is be with her. Get me out of this, God. And God said, no, you're going to have to go through this. But there's no good that could come out of this. I'm going to be gone for who knows how long. But I can honestly say to you now, in retrospect, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for getting me alone, putting me away, for reminding me what I had and what I stand to lose should I screw up again. Everything. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. If you give God time, he will show you why it's the best thing that could have happened to you. Yeah, he said, when you try to manipulate the situation yourself, it only makes it worse. Continuing, do not quench the spirit. Oh, we're starting to make some sense here. That word for quench means extinguish or put out. Sometimes you are in the middle of doing something you maybe know you shouldn't do. And because the Bible says this, no temptation has seized you, has overtaken you, except is such common to man. But God is faithful, who will offer you a way out, a way up under it, that you might be able to bear. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It's one of my memory verses. No matter what situation I've been in the last 30 years, and you could tell by looking at me, I've been in a few, where women will just make an offer. They'll make an eyeball, who knows? But God will always give me a way out. In 30 years, he's never stopped. Really? Who was it? Really good pastor? He's going to knock on your heart. He's going to give you the opportunity. He's going to say, are you sure you want to do that? When that voice comes, don't squelch it out. Anybody CB radio fan? They used to have the squelch knob. Break 19, break. Hold on, squelch that sound. Break 19. Eastbound on 95, northbound on 95. Can't go east on 95, sorry. Wasn't big on the CB scene. I was from the city, but you understand that? My least favorite three words as an adult are my most favorite three words as a kid. It just happened. Nothing just happens. You walked into it and you ignored the voice of God. Oh, well, you don't understand. Don't give me the whole culture thing. No, but all of a sudden, one second, you know, there I was on the computer. The next second, I was hooking up. No. You stopped at red lights. God knocked on your heart. You got to the house and, there's 1,000 times God said, don't do it. Don't do it. Stop. And you quenched the spirit. You with me? Do not despise prophecies. Now, that word for prophecies is when the word of God is going forward and you sense in your spirit God's knocking on your heart. When I got saved in 1994, the first thing God took from me is a foul mouth. If you think my mouth is foul now, you should have seen a few years ago. That's just a byproduct of my upbringing. Everything, an F-bomb was a comma in our... That's just the way, we were. My mother talked like that. My father talked like that. We all talk like that. But there's some things that I was sure God should have took from me. Maybe this whole thing isn't real. Because if God was real and I really was a Christian, then I shouldn't be this lustful. I shouldn't want to stare at every woman with curves that walks by. There's something wrong with me if I'm a Christian and I can't say no to a business deal that's a little bit extra. Yeah. You guys understanding me? God leaves those things and he goes every once in a while, give me that. I like that. That's my sin. That's my favorite sin. It's not going to be good for you. I want it. You guys that were here early, when we started the service, I held my granddaughter in my arms, that cute little big blue-eyed thing. She's sitting here in my arms, long blonde hair, and I'm sitting here just, and she has her head on my shoulders. She looks back and she goes, I want to do that. She wants to sing. I want to do that. And it's like, after the service, I want to do that. After the service, she just keeps nodding her head. I want to do that. Like, Arlen, after the service, I want to do that. She must have said it 15 times. Finally, I said, you want a pow-pow? She goes, no. I said, say it again. And then she was like, she's still moving her head, though. Now she's just going to move her mouth. I didn't hear what you said. That's how I am with God. And the people that don't surrender these things to God when he knocks on your heart, they live their whole life. They can live 20 years as a Christian and never grow up past the first day. And you don't experience abundant life. You don't experience unity with the Spirit. You don't know what it is to be used by God. I have an opportunity tonight, guys. We're going to the beach. We're going to play worship song. There's going to be people there who need prayer. And you're going to see them. They'll circle you like a vulture around a dead body. And they don't even know why. And they're just going to walk around us. And listen, I don't know why I'm here. I can't stop myself. And I need you there. I need you there to grab one and say, hey, you need some prayer, brother, sister? I can't do that. Yes, you can. I can't do that. There'll be other people there, right? Yeah, and that's the sad part. God will just use somebody else instead of you. It's okay. You can stay home. Wow, you're laying it on pretty thick, Ryan. Is it working? Test all things, hold fast to what is good. That word for good there is not like a spiritual benevolence. It's like if you test something that works out, go back and do it again. One time a mechanic told my father if he put a half a quart of oil in his gas tank, it would keep everything rolling good in his gas. So he did that. He put a half a quart of gas, a little bit of oil, and it gummed up the whole system. My father used to drive these old cars because he didn't have money, but he wanted to look like he had money. So he did. Like, I remember growing up, my father had like a 69 Caddy, a 58 Olds, and he used to tell people he was a collector. I collect cars. And in order to keep those old cars, somebody give him an advice. And I remember him doing that, and he was like, why would I do that? I'm so stupid. Well, just don't do it again. Right? Doesn't it make sense? So ladies, the next guy you meet, don't have sex with him unless he's ready to go before God and man and say, I do, I will. Because how many times are you going to do that? It's not going to work out, and you're going to do it again. You keep putting oil in the gas tank and wondering why it's gumming up the system, huh? Hey, the last time you went out and drank Remy Martin, two things happened. Number one, you went broke because it's expensive. Number two, you did a lot of dumb stuff. Maybe you shouldn't drink anymore. Just maybe. You notice when you don't go to church for a few weeks, you lose that peace of God, that the voice of the Lord in your heart that says, I love you, just gets dimmer and dimmer. So what are you doing? Why are you staying home? We've all had coronavirus. Come on back now. Come on back. You might get it. It'll be okay. You'll get over it. Most people do. What if I die? Then you're perfect. Test all things. Come back and do what's right. Abstain from every form of evil. That word for evil is the word in Greek, poneros, where we get our word for pornography. Listen. Pornography was designed by the devil to destroy your life. If you haven't figured it out yet, you will. That's all I'm going to say about that. Zero good things come out of pornography. Zero. Verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body... Hey! Did you thought I made that up out of nowhere? No! This is known. It's in the Bible. I wasn't giving you my opinion. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. That word for do it is a very interesting word. It's not the word Nike, which is from the shoes Nike. Believe that's a Greek word. That word means victory. Nike means victory in Greek. That's where they got the check thing from. And Nike, very do. That word means endow you with, to give you. All these things the Apostle Paul just said, here's what he said he's going to do. He's going to do it with you. And he's going to do it for you. And he's going to give you the power to accomplish it. That's his promise. That's his promise. Now, you could do it through your soul or through your flesh and find out that it will serve no purpose. He's going to do it anyway. You who accepted Christ as your Savior are going to get across the finish line. The way you get across the finish line, well, that's up to you, man. That's up to you. You can get there with the peace of God and the blessing of God. You can get there in misery and turmoil and pain and suffering. You can get there with a semicolon tattooed on your arm or an exclamation point. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Then he says, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. That is not a brother's excuse to be kissing on women in this church. It's just not going to happen. That was a half a joke. Please laugh with me on that. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Before I say amen, you see, verse 27 is extremely important. Some people who are bent toward doctrinal argument say that every epistle was written for different reasons. You have certain people that believe in once saved, always saved. Other people who believe in not once saved, always saved. You have certain people that believe in predestination and Calvinism and Arminianism. And the way they finagle the word, this is a little bit of meat for you Bible geeks here. We're done pretty much. I'm just going to finish. It's just a little bit of meat. The way they use their excuse is by saying, well, some epistles were only meant for that church. Listen to me. He says in three different epistles, I charge you to read this before all. This verse, this book, this letter is for you. All of us. Nobody excluded. All Christians. Be thankful. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In all things give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And what a difference our life would make. How many of you guys are just tired of being miserable people? I mean, honestly, I'll be the first to raise my hand. I'm just tired of being a miserable human being, suspicious of everybody, worried about everybody, down on everybody, trashing people. I'm tired, man. I want to like people, man. You know, it's such a crazy thing. I grew up in the city. I grew up in the street, and the way you stayed alive was what, you know, you used to call putting your head on a swivel. I go to a restaurant, I go to a movie or something like that, my wife's like, what are you looking at? Baby, I'm sorry, it's just a habit. People walking in back of me. I don't like people walking in back of me. I go to a restaurant, I find a table in a corner, I put my back against the wall. I don't want people in back of me. Honey, you've been out of that. You've been out of the hood for a long time. Yeah, but it's easy to take the boy out of the hood. It's just not as easy to take the hood out of the boy. So, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rededicate my life to Christ. I'm going to rededicate my spirit, my soul, and my body to Christ today. If you would like to join me in doing that, stand up, please. Pray these prayer. Pray this prayer with me. I'll say it first, you say it in at last. Say, dear God, I need you and I love you. I'm tired of being tired. I want to love life. I want to love people. Help me to see as you see. Help me to believe as you believe. Help me to love as you love. I allow complete access of my heart to you, Lord Jesus. Take away my anger, my vengeance, my wrath, my lust, my pride. I reject all cultural appropriations. My culture is now you, God. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a bold witness for you. Change my life. Start now. In Christ's name. Amen. 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 Love you guys. I'll see you guys at the beach or Wednesday night.